If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. I'll be reading to you verses 1 and 2 out of the King James Version. Leviticus chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. God told Moses to tell Aaron he wasn't allowed into the holy place at just any time or he would die. My message here tonight is direct access to the Father. If you would, bow your heads with me. Lord, I pray that you have your way here tonight. Lord, I pray that we will all realize and understand the importance that we have direct access to you. Lord, we don't have to go through a man or through a woman or through anybody, but Lord, we can go straight to you ourselves. Lord, let us take advantage of that here tonight. Have your way here, Jesus, and do what it is that you want to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we ask. Amen. Amen. Direct access to the Father. In the beginning of time, you have Adam and Eve, which sinned in the garden. And when they sinned, that changed everything from that moment forward. Sin had come upon the earth. And the earthly priesthood begins in the book of Leviticus. They would take a sacrifice in the morning, and they would take one at night. The only ones that were allowed to be priests were Aaron and his disciples. They would have to meet for a long time before they could go to meet with God. They could only do this one day a year that they were allowed into the most holy place or in the holy of holies. That day was called the Day of Atonement. The word atone means to cover. Israel could not have their sins washed away at this point, but simply they could only cover them up. Here tonight, we know a little something about covering because we have this stuff called makeup. You can put makeup on, and then when you get home, you can wash your face and look in the mirror, and there are all the zits and the pimples, simply because you didn't get under the foundation like Noxzema and get rid of the problem, but simply you just covered it up. That's what would happen on the Day of Atonement for Israel. They could not get rid of their sin. They could not have their sins washed away, but simply one day a year, they could only have their sins covered. And so Aaron and the priests, they would have to spend several hours getting ready to go meet with God. They had to make sure that they were clean. They had to make sure there was no spot, that there was no blemish. They would tie bells around their ankles or on their shoes so that as long as they were walking through the temple, people could hear the sound. They had to tie a rope around their waist because if they were to drop dead, nobody could run in after them, but simply it would cost them their lives as well. So they had to put a rope around their waist in case they did die, they could drag them out. Why did they have to spend hours upon hours making sure that they were clean, making sure that they were going through all of this to go meet with God? The reason why is because God is a holy God. And back then, you could not just go in however you wanted to before the presence of an almighty God, or it would cost you your life. But God is a holy God. And friends, I want to tell you that here in 2016, that God has not changed. For the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if the standard back then was righteousness, if the standard back then was cleanliness, don't you believe here today that it's still the same thing? I want to remind you, Church of God, that we are a holiness church. We are a Pentecostal church, and we are not to follow the ways of the world, but simply we have to live a lifestyle that is pleasing and acceptable to the Almighty. No matter what everybody else is doing, no matter if everybody else is making excuses and saying that this is acceptable, friends, I want to tell you, if this holy book says it's right, it's right, and if the holy book says it's wrong, it's wrong. We are not living for man, but simply we have to live for God, and God's standard for holiness, and he's still has a standard for righteousness, and he is looking for men and women of God that will stand up for him in these last days, that will not shake, that will not be afraid, that will not be timid, but simply will live for him all the days of their life. In Leviticus chapter 10, you have two of Aaron's sons. They go to offer before the Lord strange fire. It cost them their lives. It's not that they didn't know what they were supposed to do. It's not that they were ignorant of what it is that was required of them. But simply, I believe that they had got so lax, I believe that they started to do things their own way. Friends, I want to warn you here tonight, never come so lax or become so relaxed in your Christian walk with the Lord that you start to think that you can just live however it is that you want to and that God's going to put up with it. Friends, I want to tell you that though we are saved by grace, that though God has compassion and he shows mercy to us, we cannot go and live however it is that we want to. But friends, I want to tell you that we've got to be radically on fire for Jesus, and we got to live for him no matter what everybody else is doing, because one day you're going to stand before a holy God and you cannot use the excuse of, Lord, this is what everybody else was doing. But I want to tell you that one day the books will be open, and if your name is not written down in the book of life, he's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. But praise God, I have great news. For sinners, there's a hell to shun, but praise God, there's a heaven to gain. Aren't you thankful that if you live right, if you repent of your sins and turn from your ways, if you let go of the world and grab a hold of Jesus, aren't you thankful here tonight that one day you can spend all of eternity with the creator of the universe? Here it is. They have the Day of Atonement that was just one day a year. One thing that I find amazing is that God did not stop there. But one day he said, I'm going to send a spotless lamb. He said, one day I'm going to send one that has no sin and that knows no sin. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. One thing that I really truly find amazing is that Jesus has always been around. He is a member of the Godhead. He is a member of the Trinity. When they said, let us make man in our image, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, whom shall we send? So Jesus has always been around. But one day God sent Jesus from heaven down to earth, and he was formed in the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Ghost, never did anything wrong, never did any sin. He was found in the temples teaching and preaching at the young age of 12. Aren't you thankful that God decided to send a spotless Lamb of God? He sent Jesus, and Jesus came, and he died on the cross for our sins. After he died, the Bible says, the book of Matthew chapter 27, that the earth had a great quake and the rock shook and the veil in the temple was ripped from top to the bottom. The veil was a part of the temple that separated the most holy holies and the most holy place from the rest of the temple. But what happened when Jesus died? He died and he went to hell, but he didn't stay there. The Bible says in Revelation 1 and 18, behold, I am he that liveth and died, but now I'm alive forevermore, and I hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. I can just see it now. He died and hell was excited. They were happy and rejoicing, probably having a party when day one went by. Then day two goes, and I can just see the devil and the demons rejoicing, saying, we've got him. He's not going anywhere. But friends, I want to tell you, on the third day when they went in there to look to see where he was not there, for he had resurrected from the dead. And friends, I want to tell you, when he resurrected from the dead 3 days later, what did he do? He stepped into a new office. He stepped into the priesthood, but not just the priesthood. He became the superior priest. Or should I say, he became the high priest. He was superior to Aaron and his sons. That moment changed everything in history. No longer was there a day of atonement for the children of Israel. No longer was there just simply one day a year that the priest could go to meet with God. But simply, it changed everything. And it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for the Gentiles as well. Friends, I want to tell you, aren't you thankful here tonight that Jesus didn't just die on the cross for a small group of people, but aren't you thankful he died for white folks? Aren't you thankful he died for blacks, for Puerto Ricans, for Asians? I want to tell you here tonight that it's not the will of God that any shall perish, but that all shall have everlasting life. Who shall ever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here it is. That moment in history changed everything when he resurrected from the dead 3 days later. No longer did they have to go through a priest. No longer did they have to go through a man, but from then on they had direct access to the Father. Friends, aren't you thankful here tonight you have direct access to the Father? Aren't you thankful you can go to him at any time? Aren't you thankful it doesn't matter where you're at? It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter if you're driving down the road in your car. It doesn't matter if you're on the job. It doesn't matter if you're at home all by yourself. You can turn on some worship music. You can begin to pray, and you can feel the Holy Ghost and the presence of God come down into the room right where you're at. Friends, I want to tell you that we've got to take full advantage of this. We cannot be slack in our walk, in our daily lives, but friends, we need to have direct access to the Father, and we need to go into the holy place and spend time with God. One thing that I find interesting is that God told Moses to tell Aaron that he was not allowed in there just at any time. If Aaron went just at any time, it would cost him his life. He would die. But friends, spiritually speaking here tonight, we are to go into the holy place with God and stay there if we want to live. Friends, I want to ask you, when's the last time you got along with God? When's the last time you were just hungry to be in his presence? My home church is Pleasant Grove Church of God. I've been there ever since I've been Church of God, since I was a teenager. And I can remember on Wednesday nights, I would leave church and I would go home and I would shut my bedroom door and I would turn some worship music on and I would say, Lord, it's just me and you now, but Lord, me and you are not done. Friends, I want to tell you that we've got to get back to getting into the holy place with God. What is the holy place, so to speak? It's having a deep, intimate relationship with God. Friends, the more you fall in love with someone, the more you want to spend time with someone. The more that you want to be there for them, the more that you want your relationship to grow. It ought to be the same way with the Lord. The more you fall in love with the Lord, the more time you should want to spend with him. Aren't you thankful that God is omnipresent and he is everywhere? For David said, if I ascend above the heavens, you are there, but if I make my bed in hell, you are there. So why is it that God is omnipresent, but yet we have people not spending time with the Lord? They say, well, I'm too busy. I got this going on and I got that going on. Well, friends, I want to tell you that we've got to make God our number one. He ought to be the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning. He ought to be the last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. When's the last time that the service was going on and the Holy Ghost was moving and you didn't care if it was 12, you didn't care if it was 1, you said, Lord, I'll stay here all day because I just want to be in your presence. Friends, I want to tell you here tonight, there's no better place to be than in the house of the Lord. There's no place that I got to run off to. Some people say, well, I get hungry at 12, I got to rush up out of here, eat you a good hearty breakfast in the morning. But friends, I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's Sunday, it doesn't matter if it's Wednesday, I desire to be in God's house. And I can't have just a little dab that will do me. I can't go from Sunday to Wednesday back to Sunday. But the more you fall in love with God, you'll want to have a deep, intimate relationship with him all throughout the week. You'll want to spend time with him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. So when you walk back up in this house on Sunday, it's not like God hasn't heard from you all throughout the week, but praise God, you can have church on your way to church. Do you have a hunger to be in God's presence here tonight? Do you desire to spend time with God? One thing that I absolutely find amazing is the fact that God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And one question I have for you, did God know that they would sin before he created them? Did he know that the great fall would take place? Yes, he did. Because the Bible says in Revelation 13 and 8, before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb was slain. Friends, I want to tell you that even though that God knew that they were sin, he already had made a way. Friends, I find it amazing how he knew that they would sin. And God, unlike us, he cannot turn a blind eye to sin. He cannot wink at sin, but simply he cannot stand sin. He hates sin because he is holy. He is righteous. He is perfect. But praise God that he made a way where the devil thought that there would be no way. You have Jesus that was baptized. John was out baptizing people, and Jesus comes to be baptized by John. And in John 1:29, John looking at him, he says, now behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Friends, aren't you thankful that Jesus can take our sins away? The Bible says in the book of Micah chapter 5 that he cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Casting Crown wrote a song years ago talking about as far as from the east is to the west. Aren't you thankful that God can give you a fresh start and a new beginning? See, you can try to make things right with people. You can wrong somebody. You can do something wrong to somebody and ask them for their forgiveness and be as sincere as you want to be. But at times, people will not forgive you. At times, people will always hold it over your head, or they will say that person has not changed. But friends, I want to tell you here tonight, no matter what you did yesterday, no matter what you've done in the past, there is no one that is too lost to be saved by the Lord. Friends, I want to tell you here today, if you have fallen, it's time to get up again. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that though a righteous man falls down seven times, he gets up again. But one thing that we have is we have some people, it's like they have condemnation that's hanging over their heads, and they always feel bad about what they did. But friends, I want to tell you here tonight, if you will make things right with God, if you will ask him to forgive you of your sins, if you will turn from your sins and turn to Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins, to wipe the slate clean. The Bible says that behold, he makes all things new. Aren't you thankful for a fresh start? Aren't you thankful for a new beginning? Aren't you thankful that God can pull you out of the miry clay, put your feet up on solid ground, and you can become a new creature in Christ Jesus? Jesus became our mediator, for the Bible says that there is a mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful that he's our mediator here tonight? I find it amazing that Jesus would come and die on the cross for our sins. Though he never did anything wrong, though he never sinned, the Bible says that he knew no sin, but he became sin. One thing that I will never understand is how some people get on this high horse of self-righteousness. For the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that our righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, for as it is written, there are none that are righteous, no, not one. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says that we are God's workmanship and salvation is by the gift of God, lest no man can boast. Friends, the gospel message is very simple here tonight. We all were born into sin. We all were sinners. We all were on our way to hell, and rightfully so, that's what we deserve. But praise God, in his grace, he sent the spotless lamb named Jesus so that one day we could spend all eternity with him. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that he reconciled all things to himself. Friends, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for grace. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we have a high priest that was touched with our infirmities and that he was tempted at all points, but that we can go before the throne of grace boldly in our time of need. Friends, I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for God's grace, because I needed a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance. I know maybe some of y'all didn't need it here tonight, but praise God that when I needed it, he was right there for me. When I needed a sixth chance, a seventh chance, an eighth chance, a ninth chance. Friends, I want to tell you that grace is available to you today. We cannot get saved and just live however we want to. For Paul said, should we keep on sinning? And he said, no, God forbid. Friends, God is compassionate towards us. He understands that we're human. He understands at times that we may fall, or we may mess up, or we may make a mess of things. But friends, I want to tell you that we're to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Almighty. And when we do that, God's blessings will be on our life. God loves a humble heart. God loves a heart that will cry out to him. Friends, one thing that we must be reminded of is that we're no better than anybody. No matter what somebody has done, at one point we were all sinners. But the Bible says in the book of Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't give us what we deserve? Someone asked the question, how can a loving God send people to hell? Friends, can I tell you that hell was not created for you, and it's not God that sends people there, but it's people that send themselves there by rejecting the Son. The age of 30 is a very significant age in the Bible. Saul became king when he was 30. David became king when he was 30. Ezekiel, found in Ezekiel verse chapter 1, verse 1, was called by God to be a prophet at the age of 30. Jesus' public ministry began around the age of 30. We believe that John the Baptist's ministry began around the age of 30. In just 2 to 3 short years, I will be eligible to become an ordained bishop in our denomination when I reach the age of 30. How many of you here tonight wish you were 30 once again? Amen. Amen. Brother Shrew put both hands up in the air. But friends, I want to tell you, it's so amazing how God loved us. How God has always been there for us. At times, you might be rejected by the world. At times, people may ostracize you. They may make you the black sheep, so to speak. But friends, I want to tell you, if you've been rejected by friends, if you've been rejected by your family, I want to tell you there's one up in heaven that is crazy about you. I want to tell you that I have found one that will teach you better than any father, that will love you better than any mother. He will stick closer to you than any brother, and he will never leave you nor forsake you like any friend. Friends, I come to tell you about one here tonight that will walk with you through valleys, through mountaintops. David said it like this: I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Friends, I want to tell you, I have found one that's there with you on the good days, that was there with you on the bad days. I was born a crack baby, meaning that my biological mother did drugs when she was pregnant with me. I was having seizures every 30 seconds. The doctor said it was like literally like lightning frying parts of my brain. Nobody wanted to adopt me because of all these health problems. The doctor said I would never walk, never talk. They said I'd be mentally retarded. My biological mother didn't want anything to do with me. She threw me away, said somebody else can have this baby that's having all these issues. My biological mother father never met the man, wouldn't know what he looked like. But I praise God that there were two people by the name of Benny and Patty Gordon that loved me and took me in as their own. They didn't care the fact that they were older. They didn't care the fact that they had two kids of their own. They didn't care the fact they weren't financially fit. Hey, they didn't even care the fact that they were white and that I was black. But I'm so thankful here today that I had two people that loved me all of their lives, that gave me their last name, and they took me to church, and they have shown me the way. Friends, I want to tell you, what is the way? People are looking for it. People are wandering through this life trying to find their way. But friends, I want to tell you, the Bible says in the book of John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and none come to the Father but except through the Son. Friends, I want to tell you, we cannot get to heaven just any old way. We cannot get there through good deeds. We cannot earn our way, but simply there's only one way, and his name is Jesus Christ. Have you made things right with the Lord here tonight? How is your spiritual journey going? Have you ever noticed when you go to somebody's house, whether it's to watch a football game, eat dinner, hang out, whatever it might be, have you ever noticed how people will shut their bedroom doors oftentimes? They don't want you seeing in. Or maybe you shut your bedroom door so people won't see in. Why is that? Is it necessarily because their room is dirty, because they have dirty clothes everywhere? Maybe, perhaps. But why is it? It's because the bedroom is a sacred place. The bedroom at my house, if your last name is not Gordon, you're not going in there. But friends, I want to tell you that we must go into the holy place with God. Friends, I want to tell you that we need to have a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. I want to tell you, here it is. We got all these different things going on in the world. If you go to Target, nobody knows what restroom to use. Here it is. It's an election year. We got all that going on. We got ISIS, all these different things and problems that are breaking out in the world. And these things are very important. But if you're not so careful, if you're not careful to make Jesus your number one, and to focus on him and his word, what will happen with all these things, whether it's gas prices or anything else? At times you'll become so bogged down in your mind because you got all these different things coming on. But friends, I want to tell you that Jesus is coming back soon, and we cannot lose sight of the main thing, and the main thing is Jesus Christ. Do you understand here tonight that we are called to be the salt that can be tasted, the light that can be seen, a city set on a hill? I want to tell you, here in these last days, when you
you turn on the media report, all you hear is negative. All you hear is bad. But I come by here tonight to tell you that God is still in control. And God still has a great work he's wanting to do. There's more people here at Alabaster God's wanting to save. There's more he's wanting to fill with the Holy Ghost. Do you believe here tonight that our best days are not behind us? But praise God, our best days are in front of us.
But what must we do? We must stay close to the Lord. Been evangelizing this past May, made 8 years. It's been an awesome journey, but one thing that makes me more sad than anything, something that really grieves my spirit, is when I look around in the 8 years I've been ministering, I can't tell you how many pastors, how many youth pastors I used to preach for, they're no longer serving in ministry. And even worse than that, a lot of them have walked away from God altogether. But friends, I want to tell you that I made up my mind a long time ago that if none go with me, Lord, still I will follow. Friends, I want to tell you that we're living in the last days and this thing is getting ready to wind up. But now's not a time to flake out. Now's not a time to fall out. Now's not a time to turn around and go back to your old lifestyle. But now it's time to grab hold of Jesus, because I'm believing that God's getting ready to send revival. Here it is. We've been hearing about it in the Mountaineer state, been hearing about it in the natural state, and I praise God for what he's doing around the country and around the world. But I want to tell you, the same God that's moving over there is the same God here at Alabaster here tonight, and I'm believing that God's about to show up and he's about to show out. A lot of people say, well, we want revival, we want God to spark revival, I wish the church would get on revival. Well, friends, I want to tell you here tonight, what you need to do is you need to draw a line around yourself and say, God, if you don't move anywhere else, if you don't move in anybody in first, Lord, I want you to move in me. What we need is the Holy Ghost to move in us first. What we need is for the Holy Ghost to move in our houses, to move in our church. And then we need to go out to the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Because friends, I want to tell you, there's a lost and dying world that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. After we get saved, after we get baptized, after we grow in the Lord, and after we get our roots down deep in Christ and we're rooted in him, friends, we are called to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. The best thing that the Gordons ever did for me wasn't just adopting me, but it was them taking me to church and teaching me about Jesus. It's like I tell people all the time, I'm adopted. Everybody in my family is white. But more importantly than that, praise God, I've been adopted into the family of God. Amen. Amen. What's your desire here tonight? Is it to get closer with the Lord? Is it to have an intimate relationship with him? Friends, I want to tell you, nothing should come before God.